this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Some kudos for his coverage in East Palestine. That incident, and it's a lot more than that, is going to go down in political history as one of the most underreported significant events in politics. It's going to play very large in the 2024 election cycle. As Steve said, the inflection point for the Donald Trump campaign occurred when Donald Trump went to East Palestine and Joe Biden went to Europe. And we'll be glad to have the Admiral back in the saddle. I wanted to just show him personally that I did steal his pink sheet today. But I'll put it back, Steve, in a safe place. I wanted to just look at this because I wanted to share with you something from peternavarre.substack.com that I put out today. Before I do that, I just want to give you a preview of the show. The first half hour here, I've got an actual blockbuster reveal, breaking news about a great new book and broader project that the Heritage Foundation is putting out. We're going to have Paul Danz up in just a minute. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to first have Jane Zirkel give us an update on the disgrace, which is otherwise known as the persecution of Miles Guo, and then quickly follow that with a nice long-form interview with Clay Clark and discuss at length his path-breaking Reawaken America tour. But first, I just want to comment briefly on this Alibaba thing. Alibaba Alibaba is a Chinese communist-controlled company that is the leading purveyor of counterfeiting in the world. It was started with theft of intellectual property from American companies. And yeah, it was named after a pirate, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. And what I wrote about in the Substack today, and you can get that up on the website up there. What I wrote about today was how Alibaba, under pressure from Xi Jinping, who's worried about social media companies destroying political systems, forced Alibaba to break up into six different pieces. Now, what's interesting about that is that prior to that announcement, Alibaba had about $260 billion in market cap. And after the announcement, it added another $50 billion of market cap with a stock price rise. And the point I want to make here is one that goes back to my days in the Trump administration. What the hell are we doing letting American capital, particularly pension funds and retirement savings, invest in a Chinese communist company that steals our intellectual property, number one, and number two, is helping communist China and the CCP destroy America? Okay, we got to stop doing that. And the lesson that I talk about in peternavarre.substack.com is, one, we need to cut off the flow of investment capital from the American mainland to the Chinese mainland forthwith, something we almost did in the Trump administration. And pivoting, we also have to take a lesson from Xi Jinping. Yeah, these social media companies can disrupt political systems. We need to take down and break up Facebook and Google forthwith, something that the people on the Capitol Hill talk about all the time, but they never do anything. And just remember, Zuckerbucks, as I talk about in the Substack, Zuckerbucks spent more money in the battleground states of Wisconsin and Pennsylvania during the 2020 election cycle to set up ballot harvesting drop boxes to funnel probably what was a flood of illegal ballots into that system. Zuckerberg spent more money than the Trump campaign did itself. That guy is dangerous. Facebook is dangerous. Google is dangerous. Cancel culture is dangerous. And by the way, Twitter is still dangerous because, as I've shared with you on Steve's show, they keep censoring posts I put up. Musk isn't aware, apparently, that the Twitter cancel culture bots are still active. Anyway, that's my rant. You can see the whole story at peternavarre.substack.com. And what I want to do now is pivot sharply and abruptly and welcome my good friend Paul Danz in from Heritage. And Paul's going to talk to us about the Presidential Transition Project, as well as a very important policy book that Russ Vogt, who you're familiar with on the War Room, is a key part of, and I wrote a chapter in. So, Paul, I want to welcome you to Steve Bannon's War Room. Great to see you there.
Pleasure to be with you.
Us a little bit about, tell us a little bit first about the Presidential Transition Project that you're involved in.
Sure, and it's great to be with you, Peter, and the posse. I myself am a longtime listener, first-time guest, and really want to commend what you guys do here. It's really, we're going to harness this activist movement that you've really brought together and bring it to Washington to put people to work and the policies day one, January 20th, 2025. So the project we have here at Heritage, we actually shorthand call it Project 2025. We're looking to basically bring the conservative movement together systematically well in advance of you know, election day and even in advance, obviously, of inauguration day, and identify the people and the plans and get them ready so we can drop in essentially special operators who know what to do and can start at work immediately when, you know, the president utters the word, "So help me God." We're walking in the doors and we're going to take over.
So to be clear, the project itself, in terms of policies that are, I guess, being recommended in some sense by Heritage, are those embodied in this book that's going to be published next month? Can you tell us a little bit about the policy book?
Yeah, and even to back up, this is not Heritage. Heritage is leading this, but this is 50 of the largest and most influential conservative groups essentially joining forces to prepare in unison to be ready. When Kevin Roberts, our president, took the helm at Heritage, he kind of surveyed what's in front of us with 2024 and said, you know, the nation is at stake here. We have 2 years and one chance to get this right, and it can't be on the backs of any one particular think tank. We have to reach out to our brothers and sisters in arms and really come up with a coordinated plan. That's never been done before in the conservative movement. So what we've done here is go back to what Heritage, and we're going on our 50th year here, our anniversary next month. What Heritage really got on the map for, folks may remember in 1980, was serving up what's called Mandate for Leadership to then President-elect Reagan. And this was a policy book on the order of about 1,000 pages, but it was an agency by agency prescriptive fix that basically set a roadmap, a Bible, if you will, for the fledgling administration to get on the same page and say, this is what success will look like after 4 years. And we also looked at what Heritage had done in the past was also an on-ramp for resumes, but we needed to add to that and we needed to bring everyone together. So we built our project now into four pillars. First is a policy book, which we'll talk about, and you are one of our esteemed authors. We're so fortunate to have you on board as well as Russ. Yeah. And two is a massive database. Three is we're doing online training. And four is basically transition teams in 180-day plans. We're at project2025.org. People can learn more about it.
Yeah, I do want the posse to visit project2020.org. Is that what is it? 2024.org? Project2024.org?
Have I got that right? 2025. Project2025.org.
2025.
Yeah,
okay.
Jan 20th,
right, let me say that one more time. Project2025.org. And the reason why I want you to go there is because it is an interactive experience. So first of all, if you put your name and email address in, you'll be notified when the policy book comes out, and it actually is going to be free online. It's going to be sold on Amazon in hard copy, but you will be have an opportunity to get a free copy of it, I guess, in a PDF or some kind of Kindle format. So that's a good thing. Plus, I was looking at it earlier in the day. It's kind of cool. It's got a whole survey to survey your opinion about various types of issues, and it's fairly broad range of issues. So they'll gather some good data. So I urge you kind of to start there. Before we talk about the book, could you tell me what are some of the other big conservative organizations that are on board with this, Paul? Let's start there.
Sure. And it's hard to rattle off all 50, but obviously you mentioned Russ and the Center for Renewing America, the Conservative Partnership Institute, Leadership Institute, American Center for Law and Justice. Basically, you think of them and they've joined this this team. We're all basically trying to avoid duplication of efforts, but crowdsource the great ideas that are across the conservative movement. And, you know, really systematically be ready. We had to kind of come together, literally, kind of mend some fences with folks. This isn't going to be the perfect sampling, but it's a start. And what we've really done is gone back, like I was saying, to what Heritage did in 1980 when they wrote the original book, had 400 contributors then, majority of whom were outside of Heritage. It was a small organization. So we said, you know, let's we're conservatives. Let's look to the past to get some good ideas. Let's do the same thing. So we've recreated the book circa 2023 now. We had over 400 people nominated who are policy experts and people who've been recently in the government and Trump admin really come together and write these chapters. So that's coming out next month. And we're excited, like you said, it's going to be ultimately available online at project2025.org, and we will make it available for sale. That, you know, for people who prefer hard copy books.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the chapters and also within the broader context of how you're going to reconcile or acknowledge some of the cross currents in the Republican Party. We talk a lot in the war room, and I've written a lot in my Substack and books about traditional Republicanism, the Republicanism of deregulation and lower taxes for middle class families that certainly the MAGA folks support. But there are issues such as the border issue and the issue that I'm very involved in, the trade issue, where there's a fairly intense debate between the traditional Republican wing, the free market wing, the open border wing of the party, and the MAGA Trump folks, who take the MAGA view of the importance of secure borders and fair trade. So, for example, in the book, I'm absolutely delighted to be a contributor. When the book deals with the trade chapter, which I'm a part of, it's actually two chapters. And one of them is called The Case for Free Trade, and the other case is my chapter, which is The Case for Fair Trade. And I think that's a great way of handling these cross currents. But tell me a little bit about how the big tent of Heritage is kind of handling some of that.
Sure. Well, there's a little bit of difference between 1980 and this year's edition. First, people will remark we're in 2023. The book in 1980 was literally presented to President-elect Reagan in 1981. So he's already been elected by then. Here we're coming out right at the debut of primary season and really trying to establish this is candidate agnostic, whoever becomes the conservative standard bearer, we want to provide a resource to him or her. So we're not here trying to divine what is the conservative dogma and set it out, but what we are trying to do is provide in one simple place kind of a sampling that will show a good distribution of this is where the moment arm of the conservative movement really sits with respect to a certain agency. There are, as you remarked, many places where there's division. And what we've done there in those cases were essentially present the diametric points of view or the divergent points and allow the candidate, him or herself, to elect. So, what we ultimately want to do is literally present this to the folks campaigning for president and say, this is what conservatives want in their standard bearer. And, we want you to start from there and kind of come to us instead of us chasing after you. The book, it's a really thoughtful compendium of people. Everyone's like essentially a volunteer who's doing this, in addition to their day jobs. But folks, part of this esprit is really everyone grabbing an oar and saying we have to get this right. And I can tell you, from my experience, I was in the Trump administration, outsider from government. I was an attorney in private practice in New York. Always aspired to kind of get involved in politics, but didn't have connections in Washington, didn't really know how to start. And this book and this entire Project 2025 is meant to bring new blood to Washington. We want the posse, not everyone can do this, but we want those listening today to say, hey, I got 2 years. Now, this is really my chance to come to Washington. And this Project 2025 is going to be the portal through which you enter into that service. We're going to lay out Paul, in the book. Yes.
Yeah, Paul, on that point, I want to wax a little eloquent briefly on this online training component, because Steve Bannon's War Room is all about action, action, action. Steve has all sorts of projects like the precinct strategy, which gets people involved. What is the online training train people to do to grab a hold more of their fate and follow the canon of Steve Bannon, action, action, action? What is that all about? What are they getting trained if they sign up? I'm sure. Is it like woke principles or diversity, or is it something else?
No. Well, as I was saying, this entire project is a clarion call for folks in what you like to, as the real heart of America, what liberals deride as flyover country. But for us deplorables, this is the heart and soul. We want folks like that who have strong convictions and skill sets and specialties to be able to say, I can work in this federal government. We can't, as conservatives, look at limited government and think if we ignore it, it will go away. The liberals take over. And the esprit of this project, as even what Dr. Robert Sert Heritage said, is to go on offense. So in the training section, we're teaching people this is how the federal government functions. You get a primer of what all these agencies ostensibly are supposed to do under law. But then two, it's like, how do you work within the government? What unites us, our 50 partners, is everyone's dead set on taking down the administrative state, deconstructing it. But that in itself is going to be a very technical operation. And what we try to do here is, one, we set out our principles in the book, so everyone can kind of say, this is what the book says about a certain agency. This is what we're aiming for. If you don't agree, this might not be for you. Two, get in this database. This is going to be the central place, like a kind of think of a conservative LinkedIn, but it's really allowing a candidate to curate his or her own profile, upload their resume, their social media, extol a little bit on their public service, their aspirations, but also allow us to track people and kind of position them for various jobs. Three is the training component. This is online. Everyone who's interested can go to project2025.org and sign up for this under training. You'll go to the tab under training. And this is a series of lectures at base given by our kind of crowdsourced from our experts from across our 50 organizations telling you, you know, this is how a grant program is administered in the federal government, or this is the policymaking process. This is a security clearance. What do you have to do to come to work in the federal government? What does this entail? Even down to how am I going to relocate my kids or school systems and that kind of thing? These are classes and kind of coaching to go about that. And then finally, four, which Russ is actually directing, Russ Vogt from Center for Renewing America, a war room stalwart, is really our action plan for the first 180 days. So we're identifying the regulations that have to be pulled down right away. We're drafting things that can go up. We're drafting executive orders. And at the end of the day, we want to have a trained group of people who believe what we believe, who are identifying our database, and who are ready to essentially move out as special operators and have this ethos that, you know, they're either moving forward or they're getting out of the way.
So, Paul, let me get back to this, how you're handling some of the cross currents in the Republican Party. I mentioned earlier that I'm part of the trade chapter. I'm doing the case for fair trade. And there'll be another gentleman who's doing the case for free trade. And that's a clear battle line that I had to deal with in my 4 years in the Trump administration. Who you got for the immigration chapter, and how are they handling sensitive issues like the case for or against asylum?
Sure. Again, I get a big reveal here is Ken Cuccinelli, who's formerly at DHS, was the principal author on that chapter. And he had, like I said, a group of folks who've been nominated by our coalition partners as contributors to the volume. I think there must have been 30 folks or so who helped author that on DHS. Again, I think you'll be pleased with the way the chapter comes out.
Sure.
This is a fusion a little bit. We have to be additive. We have to win, or this entire thing is academic. So we are trying to be respectful of where there's divergent opinions. We're trying to say, well, this is really where the majority opinion sits, and where, you know, maybe some kind of dissenting view is seen as well. Lawyers do this and sometimes in joint briefs, but in the case of immigration, I think, we do have cross-cutting themes, many of which you'll hear echoed in the war room. We talk about, obviously, restoring full-spectrum energy dominance, ending the war on carbon. We talk about placing the American family as the centerpiece of life again. And we talk about really protecting our sovereignty, borders, and national treasure. So those are all cross-cutting themes, and you see not only the DHS chapter with immigration, but you'll see that across when you're discussing state and all these attacks on our sovereignty.
And how about Ukraine? Do you handle that one, or is that too hot a potato for you?
Well, there is, you put your thumb on it. That is definitely a diametrically opposed issue. I think the weight is tending more towards how people in the war room might receive it. But what we essentially did was, bring together a lot of the foreign policy old hands who worked in that area, but, kind of setting out some of the major attempts. President Reagan used to call it the Deep State Department. And we were beginning to make inroads there, but, it's a complicated thing to undo.
It's complicated. Hey, I got to tell you, though, you're making me a little nervous when you talk about the old hands, because that takes me back to the days we got into places like Iran and Afghanistan and the Hindu Kush. Let me give you your last plug, and we're going to bid you adieu. Look, everybody, please check out project2025.org. It's Project 2025.org. It's been a pleasure to have Paul Danz with us from Heritage. This project is basically an umbrella project of 50 conservative groups coming together. And look, just go to the website, sign up. You can get the free book online, and there's all sorts of other good stuff. Paul, the book's coming out next month in April, and it's the 50-year anniversary of Heritage, where you'll be having a big big soiree. And I thank you for taking the time to come on the War Room, although, you know, coat and tie is optional on the War Room, just so you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, give my regards to the folks at Heritage, and we'll see you next at the event when the book comes out, Paul. Thanks again.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks, War Room.
All right, my brother. All right. I got about 60 seconds here to set up the next half hour. You can't go away, because there's two things that are going to happen. Miles Guo, I want to talk a little bit about the latest in the persecution of Brother Miles. And we're also going to have a really thoughtful discussion with Clay Clark about a really important grassroots phenomenon that's sweeping this country called the Reawaken America Tour. The next one's going to be down in Miami at Trump's Doral, May 12th and 13th. I'm going to be there myself. It'll be the first time I'll be in person in one of these things. So when we come back, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be having a great next half hour. In the meantime, buy that Mike Lindell stuff. That's what it's all about. We got to support the armor-piercing shell known as Mike Lindell. Peter Navarro, we'll see you just in a few minutes. Stay with us.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Peter K. Navarro sitting in for the Admiral. The Admiral will be back in the War Room tomorrow morning. He's steering his way back from an epic performance and show in East Palestine. The epic performance was not by Stephen K. Bannon, but rather by the citizens of that beleaguered town, who are getting just run over by Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg and the Biden EPA and everybody in between. I'm going to welcome Jane Zirkel onto the set to talk about one of the most complicated things. Jane, let me see if I get this straight. Miles Guo, who is a Chinese expat, arguably the single most important Chinese expat trying to take down the CCP, is being hounded, persecuted, and now thrown in jail by the Department of Justice. And the backdrop to all of this is a fascinating case with this musician, Prez, I can't even pronounce his name, but he was part of a group with Lauryn Hill and Wyclef back in the 90s. They made a ton of money, and this guy goes off on his own. And he's accused by the federal government of getting in bed with a Chinese scam artist who paid the singer, the American singer, to manipulate people like Steve Wynn and others. Yeah, Steve Wynn, the guy who owns all the casinos in China, to extradite Miles back to communist China, because obviously Miles was exposing all of the crimes of the Chinese Communist Party. So I guess, Jane, what does this trial mean for the freedom of Miles Guo? That's the only thing I care about. Jane.
Well, that's right. Praz Michel is facing trial for numerous charges ranging from conspiracy to money laundering to working to not registering as an agent of China. He met with the vice minister of security of China on behalf of the CCP, who was working to have Miles Guo extradited. And this was because he was working with a gentleman by the name of Zhou Lo, who was involved in a very notorious financial scandal, the 1MDB scandal involving the Malaysian government, in which billions of dollars were embezzled. And Joe Lo was sort of a Hollywood Great Gatsby type who met Pras Michel. And when Pras became interested in the political world, Joe saw an opportunity to get involved as well. And actually around $1 million of the stolen Malaysian money went to
forgive me here. I just want you to tell me, we can't get, this thing is too complicated to relate. Just tell me, is this going to help Miles get his freedom and why?
I think it definitely has a good chance to impact that case because it shows how several co-conspirators operated with CCP officials to have Miles Guo extradited. Figures such as Elliot Brody and George Higginbottom, who have already pled guilty to charges related to this matter. And this is sort of the missing link between the money and the meeting with the CCP official that really shows just how deep CCP interference runs in the judicial system.
Great. All right, look, you're gonna give the longer extended version as this trial goes on. You're going to be back a lot as the War Room correspondent. I thank you for the update. Jane, I'm going to pivot hard now to my brother, Clay Clark, out in the great state of Oklahoma. Clay is the person who's putting together this Reawaken America tour, which has been going on now, barnstorming the country. And I want to just have a conversation with Brother Clay. Clay and I are working closely on some projects as well. I'll be in Miami May 12th and 13th at Doral, my first live appearance at the Reawaken America Tour. And so I wanted to just talk to Clay. Clay, tell us a little bit about the tour first and who's going to be on it, because you get some really high-profile folks, including the man I love deeply, who got deeply harmed by the deep state, General Mike Flynn. Clay, floor is yours, brother.
General Flynn's going to be there. Laura Trump, I just spoke to her. She'll be there. Your good friend Devin Nunes, Kash Patel, Eric Trump. So I would say a lot of the MAGA inner circle will be there. But then you have people that maybe aren't in the MAGA inner circle, but those who are just standing up unapologetically for freedom. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Judy Mikovits. You're going to have Pastor Leon Benjamin, Pastor Greg Locke, Jim Brewer, the comedian, Sean Foyt, the praise and worship leader. And Peter, really how this event came about was when the lockdowns happened, my wife and I and all my Oklahomies, all we could do was pray for you. All I could do was pray for President Trump and pray for you. And that's what I did. And I determined in my mind that if they did a lockdown in the state of Oklahoma, I would sue the mayor of Tulsa and turn my building into a church to defy the lockdowns. If the churches were going to lock down, I determined in my mind I would turn my church or my building into a church, and I would sue the mayor of Tulsa to keep our city open. And I did just that when the lockdowns were announced, and we started hosting weekly town halls. When you weren't supposed to have 10 people or more in a space, we would have 100 people in a space or 1,000 people in a space. And at one of those town halls, I met General Flynn, America's general, and he and I got to talking. And I just felt like God was calling me. I didn't see a burning bush. I didn't have a vision. I just felt like I was called to do something using my connections and talent and time and the things I can do. And so I called General Flynn and I said, General Flynn, let's do an event where we're going to have 5,000 or 6,000 people together in one arena, one facility, and let's see how many people we can have stream online did this event. And so we did the Reawaken America Tour, the first event. And if you can believe it or not, we had over 5,000 people in the same place when we weren't supposed to be getting together. We had over 50,000 people request a ticket. But what really blew my mind is we had over 7 million people that streamed the event online. And what I thought was going to be just one event, Peter, General Flynn called me and said, can we do one more? So he did one more event in Florida. And now here we are 20 events later, taking the Reawaken America Tour to Trump Doral in Miami, Florida. And for anybody out there listening, we have scholarship tickets, which means that anybody can afford these events. So if you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you request a ticket, you don't have to be rich to be able to go. You don't have to have a, you don't have to know somebody. You just have to request those tickets. And we have just under 700 tickets available right now for Miami, Florida, Trump Doral. That's timetofreeamerica.com.
Do me a favor, because I love that you talk fast and you get a lot of info out. Say that website really slowly where they can get the tickets, and say it twice for me, brother.
It's timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com. Also, I've written this on my cup. I'm heavily inspired by DayQuil today there, Peter. So this is my phone number. You can text this number, 918-851-0102. 918-851-0102. The Oklahoma allergies are getting me, so I'm kind of on the DayQuil drip right now. So this is my chaser, but you can text that number, 918-851-0102.
All right, do me a favor. Let's talk a little bit about like a serious kind of step back a little bit. Tell us a little about who Clay Clark is, and you know, where you grew up, and how you came to be somebody with a mission. Because as I've come to know you fairly well now, your mission really is one dedicated to restoring this country to its values and greatness. So how did you go from where you're sitting now, from where you started? What's the Clay Clark story in a nutshell, brother?
My mom and dad were wonderful people. Tom Clark, may he rest in peace. My mom, Mary, and I grew up really poor. My dad worked at a gas station, and he delivered pizzas for Domino's Pizzas in his late 30s to provide for our family. And at the age of 15, I resolved in my mind that I wouldn't be poor anymore. So I read, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I read all the Norman Vincent Peale books. I read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then I got three jobs. I worked at Applebee's, Target, and DirecTV. And before the age of 22, I had built a multi-million dollar entertainment company called DJConnection.com, which I don't own and I haven't owned for over 10 years. But that company, we were doing over 4,000 events a year, Peter. We were doing weddings and corporate events, massive events. And I sold that business. And then I got involved in the following industries. I got involved in the dental industry. I got involved in the photography industry, in the legal industry, in the real estate industry, in the home flipping industry. This is a real thing. In the dog training industry and the carpet cleaning industry. It's a lot. And if you go to thrivetimeshow.com and you click on testimonials, you can see. But basically, I'm a guy who developed 200 plus income streams or 200 plus brands. And so how I make money is I charge people a flat fee to grow their business, and then I get a small percentage of the growth, and that's how I make money. And so I'm kind of betting on myself, because if I'm not generating revenue or growth for my client, I'm not making any money. And anyway, at the age of 27, Peter, I'd hit pretty much my financial goals, and I've just felt like that this republic is worth saving. And I always thought that President Trump would be able to stop the deep state himself. And when I saw Fauci get up there on national television and tell people things that I knew to be false, because I knew the models that said that 2.2 million people would die from COVID were falsely calibrated by Deborah Birx's own admission. I knew that the PCR tests were falsely calibrated or could be falsely used to inflate the number of cases per the statements of Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR tests. And when I knew that COVID was treatable with budesonide and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, because I have doctors who are clients of mine, Dr. Meehan, that's MeehanMD.com, and Dr. Sherwood, and the late, great Dr. Zelenko. These guys had treated, between the three of them, 27,000-plus COVID-19 patients with only three deaths. And when I saw the way he was lying to you guys and lying to the American people, I recognized that I needed to take my personal, whatever my personal agenda is, and put that aside and to focus my schedule on trying to save America. So normally, Peter, I wake up at 3 a.m. and I work till 6. That's my normal. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I work till 6. I do that 6 days a week. I've always done that to grow my businesses and my family's wealth. And I decided to refocus that and to focus on saving this nation. And so from 3 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, all I do is Project Reawaken America. Project Save America. And that's why we let people name their price when they come to our events, because I don't want anybody to be unable to know the truth, because we are in a very perilous time in this nation. And if it wasn't for great folks like Steve Bannon, like yourself, General Flynn, Cash Patel, et cetera, we would be in a far worse situation. And I just feel like you guys need some reinforcements. And so I know I wasn't invited by you to join the party, but hopefully you feel the love and support of people like myself that are just trying to help you, help support you and get the message out.
So your story tells me you were like the quintessential American entrepreneur. This country was made for you. Did you graduate from high school? Did you ever go to college? The ground running?
Well, I'm a big fan of case studies. So I went to high school and I graduated early, or I finished high school early. And in Minnesota, if you have all your credits, you can go to college early. So I graduated just like everybody else, but I went to college early during my junior and senior year. I transferred to Oral Roberts University. And I'm not being disparaging of Oral Roberts University, but I remember talking to my professor and I said, "Mr. Professor, how much money do you make?" He told me the number. And Peter, I was DJing weddings. And I had a company, and we were charging $600 per event. And at the time, I was doing about 500 events a year.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, you know, I could make 10 times what my professor makes per year if I would just drop out and focus on that. And so I began reading case studies. And so what I do is I'll get a book, and I'll just give you an example. I'll get a book like this, The Collapse of the Dollar. This is over a decade old. And what I do to books is probably unethical, but I read them, I highlight them, I take notes on every page, I dog ear them, and I apply what I'm learning into my life and businesses. So I taught myself Photoshop and videography and accounting and bookkeeping, and I just devour case studies. So if you ever come to Tulsa to my man cave, you'll see all these books that I've studied. And if I ever get stuck, I find somebody who's very good at that task. So when I started a photography company, believe it or not, I didn't know how to take photos, had no interest in photography, but I thought to myself, you know what? That could be a profitable industry. So I hired a wedding photographer to teach myself and my team, and I built all the systems, and I have a four-step process, Peter. Step one, you find a problem, which people have a lot of problems. Step two, you solve the problem. Step three, you try to sell the solution. And step four, you nail it and scale it. And that's how I'm involved in all these industries. So I'm just a lifetime learner, a voracious reader. And I really do. I mean this sincerely. I love your podcast because your podcast says it's like a daily briefing where you take something that could be said in 3 hours and you say it in 10 minutes. And I prefer people that teach that way. And so I try to surround myself with people that are very high functioning, get it doneers, people that can quickly teach me a skill set that I need to learn. And that's what I do.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning the podcast and Substack. I just put a little plug in. It's peternavarro.substack.com. And yeah, what I'm trying to do with that, Clay, is basically provide the best, what I call short form podcast at the intersection of politics and economics that's out there. And Thomas Jefferson once famously wrote that I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time. And what I'm trying to do in the podcast is use my time to save your time to hit that. So thanks. I'm looking forward to seeing your reawakened tour down in Doral up close and personal. And folks can stream that as well. Let's go through once more how they can sign up for it, the fact that there's scholarships available, and that that this stuff is both, I guess, live streamed, and then after the fact you archive it, right?
Yeah, if you go to rumble.com and you search for the Thrive Time Show, there you'll be able to watch the event for free. But what we do, Peter, is we pack in, if people can believe this, we pack in 70 plus speakers during a 2-day event. We have every speaker gets a 15-minute runway to share the truth. You'll be given a half hour, but most speakers are given a 15-minute window to share the truth. And what we do is there's no teleprompters. There's no corporate sponsors. And if people go to timetofreeamerica.com, you can request a ticket. And I tell people, you know, if you could pay $250 for a regular price ticket, that would be great. But if your budget allows you to spend $7, that's okay too, because we all need to do what we can to save this country. So these events are not profitable for me. The Rolling Stone did a hit piece on me stating that Clay Clark has bitten off more than he can chew because they somehow got a hold of some of the vendors and the lighting companies and the sound companies that I've hired, and they've determined that I'm losing money at these events, which is true. But we're not doing this to make a profit. We're doing this to save the country, because it'll be very hard for our economy to be profitable if it's not free. So if you want to attend these events, folks, don't let money get in the way. Don't let time get in the way. Carve out time. Choose to be there. What gets scheduled gets done. You can go to timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com. And if you want a little bit faster service, you can text this number right here, 918-851-0102. And I mean this sincerely. Your podcast, William Shakespeare said that brevity is the soul of wit. And I've only had the opportunity to spend time in fellowship with President Trump on two occasions. But I can tell you, you operate at Trump time, and so does he. And that's what it's going to take to save this country. We don't have time for bureaucracies, and we need to get things done. And I just encourage people, if you want to get things done, come to these events, get plugged in. I promise you're going to leave inspired to do what's required to save this great republic.
All right, my brother, you are an awesome dynamo that operates not a lot of hours in a day left after you use them. Clay, thanks for being on War Room. Folks, you check out the Reawaken tour. I'm going to let Clay go now and finish off with some breaking news from Brazil. And this is a big deal. Admiral Bannon here has been following how the CCP has cut deals now with Russia to get off the U.S. dollar, and Iran to get off the U.S. dollar, and Saudi Arabia. And if the world gets off the U.S. dollar in oil, that's going to have a tremendous impact on this country. And now we learn that Lula, the presidente of Brazil, has just reached an agreement to trade with Communist China strictly in Chinese yuan, indeed. So, as Steve says often, elections have consequences. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. Lula, corrupt CCP puppet who stole that election from Bolsonaro. Now they're trying to, like with Trump, trying to put Bolsonaro in prison. This can't stand, folks. So Steve will be back with you here tomorrow in the War Room. I promise, Steve, that your beloved pink sheet will be back in its place. But I always like to give you a little poke on that because I know it's dear to your heart. In the meantime, it's an honor and privilege to be here in the War Room. I'm asking everyone in the posse to go to PeterNavarro.substack.com, PeterNavarro.substack.com, and get the best short form podcast and Substack out there at the intersection of politics and economics, and come to Steve Bannon's War Room for the long form. Peter Navarro, out.